Welcome to Torati Mecha HaVtorah with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malkel Winter, and today we study the HaVtorah for Parshas Chayisara from Melachim Aleph, Perek Aleph, Psukim Aleph to Lamed Aleph, chapter 1, verses 1 to 31. This describes the end of David HaMelech's life. Just this fact alone helps us understand why this chapter was chosen as the Haftorah for Parshas Chayisara. Our Parsha deals with the end of the lives of Sarah Imenu and Avraham Avinu, marking the close of an era. And in many ways, the end of David HaMelech's life mirrors this as well. No one will ever accomplish what Avraham and Sarah did. They were the firsts, the onlys. They took a world that was careening towards destruction, and through their actions, they gave it meaning, purpose, and a path forward. They saved the world and paved the way for all of us to follow. Similarly, David HaMelech was not only the first king of Yehuda, he was the first in so many ways. No one will ever truly reach the level of David HaMelech. In our Parsha, Avraham sends Eliezer to help establish the home of his son Yitzchak. Likewise, in this first chapter of Melachim Aleph, we see David HaMelech as he ages and grows infirm, working to establish the home and kingdom of his son Shlomo HaMelech. However, while the transition seems to go miraculously smoothly for Avraham and Yitzchak, the situation with David and Shlomo is so much more complicated and difficult. As David is nearing the end of his life, one of his sons, Adoniyahu, ambitious, talented, powerful, and as the verse tells us, very handsome, begins to believe that he should be the next king. He secures the support of influential ministers and generals, behaves as the heir apparent, and essentially, as the Navi Nasan warns Shlomo's mother Bathsheba, crowns himself. Now we know that it doesn't work, that his plots fail, that his accomplices are punished, and that Shlomo HaMelech, the chosen of Hashem, is made king. The question we're left with today is, why not Adoniyahu? Why was Shlomo chosen over the older, more powerful brother? What was Adoniyahu missing that Shlomo had? Understanding this missing ingredient and searching for it in our Parsha can give us a deeper understanding not just of Adoniyahu, Shlomo, and our forefathers, but of our true mission here on earth. We gain further insight into this missing ingredient when, after Shlomo is crowned king and his great father David passes away, Shlomo has a dream in Givon. In this dream, Hashem appears to him and asks him what he would like most, what his greatest wish is. Shlomo HaMelech, after thanking Hashem for the tremendous kindness and incredible honor of being granted the throne, shares his feelings of inadequacy, his deep sense of unpreparedness for stepping into his father's giant shoes. He says, I want to serve you, Hashem. I want to lead your people well, but I feel ill-equipped. So he asks for a lev shomea, a listening heart, one that will hear Hashem's voice and make wise, righteous choices. He asks for the wisdom to serve Hashem and care for his nation with justice and understanding. So this is who Shlomo is at his core, a man who wants to serve, a man who humbly asks for the tools to do the job well. He doesn't ask for power, glory, or wealth. He asks for the ability to lead in a way that will honor Hashem and benefit the people. This is the ingredient that disqualifies people like Adoniyahu from the throne and from greatness. Because for Hashem, it's never about talent, charisma, brilliance, or control. It's about being an Eved Hashem, a servant of God. For Adoniyahu, the language is very different. The Pasuk says in Pasuk Hey, ואדוניהו בן חגיס מסנסה לאמור, אני אמלוך, ויעש לו רכב ופרשים, וחמישים איש רצים לפניו. Adoniel, the son of Haggis, raised himself, saying, I will rule. And he made for himself chariots and riders, and had 50 men running in front of him. Adoniel had a personal vision, a dream, and was willing to take tremendous risks to make it come true. But to be a Jewish king, the most important ingredient is the almost paradoxical understanding that as king, you must, above all else, serve Hashem, the true king. There is a beautiful story in the Gemara Brachos about Rav Chanina ben Dosa, who went to visit his teacher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, in order to learn from him. While he was there, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's son fell gravely ill. In a state of panic, Rav Yochanan cried out, Chanina, my son, beg for mercy. Rav Chanina immediately put his head between his knees and he prayed fervently to Hashem, begging for the child's recovery. Miraculously, the boy survived. Afterwards, Rav Yochanan made a striking comment. Had I put my head between my knees and prayed all day, Hashem would not have listened. Rabbi Yochanan's wife, surprised by this statement, asked, But isn't Rav Chanina your student? Isn't he here to learn from you? Is Rav Chanina greater than you? To which Rabbi Yochanan replied, Chanina is like a slave before his master, and I am like a minister. What is this midah, this quality that Rav Chanina excelled at? It is exactly the quality that we have been discussing. A selflessness. An utter centering of oneself on the purpose of serving Hashem. Rav Chanina did not view his actions through the lens of personal gain, recognition, or even accomplishment. He understood his role in this world simply as a servant of Hashem, and his prayer was completely directed towards fulfilling that mission. His devotion was not about personal honor or the need to be seen as great. It was about making the world better in whatever capacity Hashem saw fit for him to serve. This is the core idea we have been discussing. What makes someone truly great is not their external accomplishments or talents, but their capacity for humility and their willingness to serve Hashem with all their heart, without concern for self-interest. And it's not easy. It's never easy. So often, our dreams seem to collide with the Ratzon Hashem, the plan of God. Sure, we want to serve Hashem, but we want to serve Hashem our way, with our vision, our dreams. We often draw plans in great detail of exactly how our service of Hashem is going to look. And sometimes Hashem gently lets us know that He has a different vision for our lives, that we will serve Him a different way. What are we to do then? I always find the role that Eliezer Eved Avraham played in this Parsha so incredibly moving. And indeed, in the Parsha, he is consistently called Eved, slave. For he was given marching orders, and they were to travel from the land of Canaan to find a wife for Yitzchak, not in Canaan, convince her to return with him to become the wife of the great Yitzchak. And there was a caveat. If he would be unable to find someone suitable or willing, then the family would move to plan B and choose a local girl. What is the tragic and ironic backstory? Eliezer had a daughter, a Canaanite girl, and the Medrash tells us he had a secret dream that his dear daughter would marry into this noble family. He loved his master, Avraham. He was, according to Medrash, the greatest student of Avraham. He probably knew him best. And there was nothing he wanted more than for his daughter to marry the great and illustrious son of his master. But he was given a job. and Avraham had made his wishes clear to Eliezer. And so, like the Eved he was, he not only obeyed, he did everything in his power to ensure success. The gathering of wealth to impress the girl and her family, the desperate prayers for assistance, the careful wording when he spoke to Rivka's family. This was not a man who was sluggishly and half-heartedly doing his duty. This is someone who is passionately engaged in pushing through the deal. Why? Because maybe we are not understanding the word Eved deeply enough. It's not just mindlessly and robotically taking on marching orders. Truly being an Eved is someone whose faith, love, and commitment to his master is such that he takes on his wishes in a real way. Eliezer is forever eternalized for us as the quintessential Eved, someone whose dreams are wound up in his master's dreams. In fact, Chazal teach us that our Avraham Avinu was the first person in the world to call Hashem Adon, Master. And in so doing, he added a new dimension to our world. Because the master-servant relationship is so completely different than anything that had previously been understood by mankind. We knew that Hashem was our Father, our God, our Maker, our King. But Avraham says, and he is my master, and therefore I serve him. Avraham was a seeker, a searcher, and his questions were not just about Hashem, they were about himself. Who am I to be in this world? And he understood, who I am in Hashem's world is someone who can contribute to Hashem's plan, to Hashem's glory. I am not here just to receive. I am here as Hashem's servant, and I serve his purpose for the world. I have what to contribute to Hashem's plan. Avraham's vision of himself emphasizes a sense of purpose and contribution beyond just receiving blessings. And what about us? Ritzoninu la'asos ritzoncha. We say, Hashem, we want to do your will. Just as Shlomo asked for a lev shomea to hear Hashem's voice and serve him with wisdom. Just as Eliezer followed his master's instructions without hesitation or self-interest, so too, we all have our dreams, our wishes for ourselves and our families. But should Hashem offer us the world, we hope we would respond as Shlomo did, choosing to serve his will above all else. More than all our own dreams and wishes, what we truly want, Hashem, is to serve you, to serve your plan for the world in the way that you want. So, as we move forward in our lives, let's ask ourselves, are we ready? Are we ready to set aside our own ambitions and dreams, as Shlomo did, in favor of the mission Hashem has in store for us? Can we find the strength to say, Hashem, give me a lev shomea, a heart that is ready to serve you and serve your purpose for the world? Thank you for learning together.